Hey guys, Keith Finch here with Gun Day Brunch. Today is going to be a solo episode. We are still brought to you by Bleecker Street Publications and the Taurus USA brands, Taurus Heritage and Rossi. Keep on the lookout from those guys. They've got some new stuff in the pipe that's going to be a lot of fun. Today, however, we are not going to be discussing firearms. I want to take a detour into optics, namely because I've had this come up in a couple of classes recently. LPBOs and when to get and when not to get. And we went on a tangent a few weeks ago with Caleb discussing LPBOs versus red dots, and he ended up on a red dot again because he is stuck in his ways and curmudgeonly, and that's fine. I am too. But he is that elder millennial, and he is embracing his slow transformation into a American handgunner boomer. And I am happy for him about that. But LPBOs, low power variable optics. Do you need one? Do you need to upgrade to one? What are their purposes? Because there are two distinct lanes that we've seen come from LPBOs, and depending on your source and the biases of those sources, you might be under false assumptions about one can and what cannot do, or what type of problems an LPBO might solve for you in the shooting world. So, first things first, and we'll get it out of the way. If you are running a quality red dot of some sort, like a Comp M4, Comp M4S, any Aimpoint, any quality Trijicon, EOTech, SIG, Holosun, etc. If you're running any dot that is working for you, you do not need to be in a significant hurry to upgrade to an LPBO unless there are exterior factors such as degrading eyesight or a mission profile that requires longer distance observation as well as a longer distance shooting. You can shoot things far away with a red dot. It is very possible. It's even easier than shooting things long away, far away with iron sights because your aiming point is much more precise than the iron sights. Back in my day, Marine Corps time, I hit 500 yards multiple times all day long and qualified with iron sights on an M16A2. A red dot would have been easier because of a finer point of aim and then just learning proper holdover. It would have been much more precise than the M16A2, M16A4 APOS. APOS can do it. Red dot can do it a little bit better, but you're still in that unmagnified, unassisted sight picture. So, going from that into the world of LPBOs, you have two types. So, if you are in that mission profile where you want to or need to upgrade to a variable magnified, the first thing you should probably look at are the second focal plane options, because you are stepping from the mission of a red dot optic into a red dot plus magnification, which is what your second focal plane scopes are giving you, especially the daylight bright ones, the actual either fiber optic illuminated or otherwise red dot bright options in second focal plane. There are a couple of options in front focal plane that give you a bright center reticle, but I think I'm still under the impression that a lot of those scopes are trying to do too much because they have two different lanes that they're in. So, good second focal plane options. This is the SVPS, one of the SIG Tango 6T models. It is specifically second focal plane, has their fire dot reticle, their super bright reticle, and it is a it's their submission, and it won the contract for US SOCOM for the SVPS, the Squad Variable Power Scope. So 1-6, second focal plane, bright dot, simple reticle that is BDC compensated at maximum power at 6 power for M855A1 out of a 14.5-inch barrel. So you strap it to an M4 and it'll BDC compensate for the military issue M855A1 ammo. And it's going to track reasonably accurately for other 5.56 loads and other barrels as well. You're just going to have to develop data on it. The OG classic in that line is, of course, the Razor 2 HD and the upgraded Razor 2 HDE, which is lighter. These excellent scopes, still produced, still working around, and again, a very simple reticle, bright center aiming point. So you're getting a lot of the red dot capabilities as well as the ability of an adjustable magnifier. So And you're losing a lot of the eye relief issues that come with some of the magnifiers that are, while high quality, they do have limited eye boxes. I find the eye boxes and LPVOs more forgiving. So those are two classic 1-6 options. Those are where I would start looking. Look at other second focal plane 1-6 options. There are a ton out there in the market nowadays, guys. Moving up from there, another one I like is the Primerearms PLX-C in the second focal plane with the bright option. They also have front focal plane variants and a new, what they're claiming is a generation 2 red dot bright front focal plane variant. I will get to front focal planes here in a bit. I do like those scopes. They just, again, inhabit that different lane. So, second focal plane options. This is my current favorite, the PLX-C. I also like the EOTech Voodoo 1-8. I think that one has done very, very well. And then obviously the Razor 2 and the SIG SVPS or the SIG second focal plane Tango 6T variants. I've had very good luck with. I like all those scopes. I think they are plenty durable. The second focal plane LPVO is for that magnified red dot performance envelope. You need the red dot capabilities, the speed, and the simple aiming system, but you want the magnification too. And with it comes a little bit of ranging and bullet drop compensation capability because you can put a marked reticle inside it and you can scale it to work at 4x or 6x. Most people make it work at the highest end magnification because it's easy to get to that magnification. Now your BDC works correctly. It's simplifying the operator process. You just need to know what the various points, the various points mean inside your optic, and then properly tune it to what you're shooting, tune it to the ammunition and its specifications. So you build a little bit of data with scopes and they become super useful. Even if your reticle isn't all that complex, you can probably make the rifle work to 600, 700, even 800 yards without trying too hard, even with a simple second focal plane reticle. Moving on to first focal plane options, the first one I'm going to point out here is the Marine Corps version of the VCOG, the 1-8X VCOG. It has got a milradian, MILRAD reticle inside it. It does not have a bullet drop compensator. I really like that the Marine Corps chose to do that and build data on the various rifles a little bit more live as opposed to just trying to set it and forget it. Because I think a lot gets lost in that, and that Marines should know, and that troops in general should know, but Marines specifically. If this is riding on an M4, if this is riding on an M7, if this is riding on a H&K that's got the 11-inch barrel on it, or if it is riding on a 20-inch barreled gun or a 308 gun, the scope itself can, without any changes, without anything needed, you can build data out on it. You can either build it in a ballistic calculator initially, and then you can true it up on the range, or you can just build it on the range and see what happens. But the reticle is very, very useful, and the hash marks are pretty easy to memorize, just like the BDC is. It's not that hard a conversion from the ACOG, which was, tuned. There were two versions of the Marine Corps ACOG, the one for the M16 20-inch barrel and one for the M4 14 and a half inch barrel, based on specific heights above the receiver and all of that. That was very well tuned. It was very well thought out if, like, we never changed ammos and anything like that. But as soon as we started changing those things, it's like, okay, now my data's wrong. My data inside my sight is wrong. Not very wrong. Usually within margin of error, that makes it just fine with overlapping tendencies, but enough wrong that it's like universal system like the milliradian is a really good solution too. And you just learn the data for the ammo you're shooting. So if you're shooting Mark 262, you build data on Mark 262. If you're shooting M855A1, you build data on M855A1. So this is the SCO. Squad Common Optic. I like it. I'm glad I got my hands on it. It is heavy as all get out, though. It is a very, very heavy scope, but it is a good representation of that front focal plane type system. Night Force has a really good front focal plane option. March Optics has a good front focal plane option. The primary arms, PLX-C in the 1-8 still. Little bit heavier, very tiny bit heavier, little tiny bit different than their second focal plane version. We're talking very limited amounts, folks, but also a really good option as a front focal plane scope, and that scope gives you more data. There's more ranging elements to it. Obviously, the sight picture on front focal plane scopes remains consistent with the target image. So a mil is always a mil, a minute of angle is always a minute of angle. It doesn't just operate at maximum magnification, which is what second focal plane scopes do. Their scale is, again, usually only accurate at a specific magnification or maximum magnification. So the king of that realm. And some people might disagree with me, but the current king of the front focal plane realm, I think, is the Razor version 3. The Razor 3 optic from Vortex is still my favorite in the front focal plane scopes. Because with front focal plane, with that detail-oriented reticle, giving me more magnification gives me more options and allows me to take a very precise shot. So I like front focal planes on guns where, and there's a lot of To take it back for a second, there's a lot of interoperability between a second focal plane and a front focal plane LPVO. They're covering a lot of the same space and a lot of the same capabilities. You just kind of have to pick one direction where you want it to be a little bit better. The second focal plane being in that red dot emulation of speed and brightness and accuracy, like immediately on demand. And the front focal plane in the detailed measurements, the much more precise, maybe smaller object or more precise object shooting. If one of those has a preference, if one of those has a priority for you, that should be the direction you start looking for your optical switch. So with the Razor 3, you get a bright center dot reticle. It's awesome. I like that about it. They are still very expensive scopes. I get that. I've got two of them. But it gives me some of that precision optic capability because 10x, this guy is more, it's just as much magnification as I would have had on an early GWAT sniper rifle running the Leupold Mark IV, 3.5 to 10. So I've got a lot of options and I can take a lot more advantage of what the rifle is capable of doing thanks to the optic. But if the sight picture and the data inside the optic is overwhelming, or I'm not utilizing all of it, it can be hindrance more than help. Which is, if you are looking into LPVOs for the first time, I recommend look at second focal plane first. Look at those second focal plane scopes as your initial foray into LPVOs. I run LPVOs on most of my rifles now. Again, eyes, astigmatism, it helps with that. Solid state reticles help with astigmatism. There are a lot of advantages when it comes to that. But if you are just starting into LPVOs, if you don't have precision rifle background at all, if you don't have any precision rifle knowledge and application and knowledge, then I think a front focal plane scope is going to be underutilized. Those feature sets are going to be underutilized if you are just getting into variable magnified optics for your carbines. Because second focal plane works fine. It gives you a slightly lighter scope, a slightly brighter sight picture due to the construction and the number of lenses required. So there are a lot of advantages still with second focal plane optics because you don't need the complexity. You want the magnification, you want the clarity of sight picture, and you want the additional information that magnification can give you about your target, but you don't need the additional complexity in the reticle. It's not doing anything for you at that point in time. So there's my little tangent on LPVOs, guys. I hope it's informative, I hope it's instructive, and I hope it answers questions you might be have if you are looking to switch to magnified optics from red dot optics. But again, you don't need to be in a hurry to do it. Red dots work fine. Red dots work excellently. If your use profile says no, or biologically, and you're aging like I am, biologically it says it's time for magnification, or your use profile says it's time for magnification, start the search in second focal plane. And then if your use case says nope, tiny precise, need to be able to measure very, very precisely, measure distance precisely, and make a very precise, very deliberate shot, then look at front focal plane with the enhanced reticles that come with the front focal plane optics. There are a lot of options out there. You can get lost in the weed, guys. Weeds, don't get lost in the weed. You're not supposed to do that with firearms, I heard. There's a question on 4473s about that. Anyway, guys, that's all I got for today. If you have any other questions about optics, feel free to send those in. Caleb will look at that inbox, get those questions to me, or we'll address them in a future episode. Until then, I will see you later.